I want to revisit some things I talked about a couple weeks ago. But first, I want to open to a very familiar scripture in John 3. What are we after? We're after an authentic experience with God. An authentic experience with God is a relationship with God. Authentic Christianity is a love affair with God. If revival is the quickening and awakening of a people to God's true nature and purpose, then that new true nature and purpose we're being awakened to is the love of God. We've been speaking about these things since January 1. And I believe that God is quickening and awakening His people. I believe, because I feel it happening here in the services now. I feel the awakening of His love, the transformance of His love beginning in our people, beginning in me. It's transforming me in ways that I haven't begun to know. And, you know, so often when we talk about those things, it's so easy to tune out because, what is it? Oh, well, it's just God's love. I know. But we don't know. Until it's an illumination that comes from within, until it's like a bright flaming torch, we don't know the love of God yet. Because when it becomes truly the way that He is making it, truly the way that He sees it, truly the way that He walks in it, then it will become that illumination that dwarfs every other illumination in our life. There's something about the love of God that begins a place of transformation in you that sets aside every other priority so that He can be magnified. Hallelujah. God's love is that true acceptance without reservation or qualification. We don't have to earn it. It's not being limited or parceled out to just a select few. It's given freely, without cost. It's given freely because it's His desire to have that relationship with you, to draw you into that place with Him, and to begin to have an interface that changes the dynamic of how you think, see, and react. It changes what we hear. It's possible for us to say the exact same thing and hear very differently. Why? Because our experiences of our past oftentimes dictate what we hear, even though the words and the syllables that are hitting our eardrums are exactly alike, we will all have a different response to the word that we hear because of those past experiences. But God brings us into a place where those past experiences are no longer controlling what we hear. They're no longer defining who we are. They're no longer defining what's going on in our life. But those things fade away in the light of who He is. Hallelujah. John 3 and 16. I just want to set a foundation for today with this scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. That whosoever would believe in Him, that means you and me, that means anyone who will make the choice to believe in Him. Anyone who will make the determination that I want what You got, Lord. That's not great English, but it's good preaching. But the key is that He loved the world. He loved you and I and each one of us. He loved us with a love that defied logic. He loved us before we were even born. He loved us before even the matter and the DNA began to come together. He chose you. He chose you. Now He's waiting for us to choose Him. He's waiting for us to join into this chorus and this symphony with Him. I'm going to share with you some things that I read 2 weeks ago, but I want to recapture it, and I want to just give some scripture to go along with it, because for one, if we don't revisit something within 48 hours, we tend to lose it. And I believe there are some things here that lay a foundation for what else He wants to do today. It says, God's love compels you to come in. Self-preservation desires to keep you at a distance. He's not expecting us to walk perfectly. Thank you, Jesus. I am delighted for my people to seek out my love. Nothing, no action or sacrifice can cleanse a heart as purely as my love. You know, we fast so that we can draw near. But you know what? The thing to cleanse your heart even faster than that, even more purely, more correctly than that, because you can fast a lifetime and still miss the love of God. Love will purify your heart. Selfishness and fear cannot hide in my love. True humility and honor are found in my love. Turn with me to 1 John 4. Because selfishness and fear cannot hide in his love. 1 John 4 and 18, famous scripture, says this: there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment or torment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. The one who fears is not perfected in love. What is that saying? That word there, who fears, is talking about one who runs away. If you translate it literally, it says one who runs away. So the one who is running away, the one who is being put in a place of wanting to run away. Why? Because what happens is we begin to try, whenever something comes up in our life, it causes us to run away from God, who is the very one who can actually deliver us. A sin issue comes up in our life, and what do we want to do? We want to hide and be in shame, when the only way that you're really going to find your way out is to go, Lord, here it is. If we'll take and we'll live our life before God, if I'll let Him examine everything, every thought, every action, every reaction, and I'll live it before Him, I give Him the opportunity to bring me into wholeness in that place. Only when we begin to cower and hide in shame does He not have any opportunity to help us. It's His desire to cleanse your heart. It's His desire to bring you into a place of wholeness. It's His desire to bring you into the place of an overcoming freedom. All we have to do is yield Him that place on a consistent basis. The same with fear. We yield Him that place. We yield it to Him and put our trust in Him. Because as we put our trust in Him, we recognize that He is the one who can deliver us from this thing. Whatever that circumstance, whatever that situation, whatever it might be, He is the one who delivers us from that moment. He's the one who delivers us from that which has come upon us, that which is trying to torment us, that which is trying to keep us away. Recognizing the fullness of His love. Recognizing the fullness of His character. Recognizing the fullness of who He is, to become perfected in this love. When that word perfected, it means to be made whole, to be made complete. When we're made whole and complete, we're no longer being challenged by the things that aren't God, because we recognize that our salvation is in Him. Our destiny is already secure in Him. Our heart's desire is held in Him. He knows every desire, every need, everything that we have need of, and He is the one who is more than happy to shelter us, to be our provider. Hallelujah. Verse 19. I believe this is probably the most important words, the most important scripture in the whole Bible. And it says, we love because He first loved us. It is impossible for us to understand the depths of God's love until we understand He first loved us. If you only memorize one verse, memorize that one. Because that'll lead you to the truth. That'll lead you to every other thing that you have need of. Because we can only love as much as we are loved. And He has already given us all love, for He is all love, and He gave us of Himself. That's what John 3:16 was about. He gave us of himself. And therefore, he already demonstrated his love. But so often, we just casually dismiss that and we don't understand that he was first loving us. Before we were ever capable of loving him, he first loved us. What does that mean? Well, in a very practical way, that means he's already given you forgiveness even before you've ever done what you were going to do. Okay, don't throw your prophet rocks yet. Because he loved you. He already gave forgiveness for you before you ever did it. Now, do we need to come into a place of repentance? Absolutely. But your repentance is for you, not for him. Because he's already decided to accept you. Your repentance is so you can move into that place of agreement with him about what's been going on. He loves you. He gave of himself for you. And when we understand that, when we begin to allow him to do that, then things begin to take shape in our life. When we begin to say, Lord, I'm going to just come and I'm going to just sit before you and I'm going to let you love me. I challenge you. How many of you have tried to do that? I spoke about it the other week. How many of you tried to do that? Okay, we got one or two doing their homework. I challenge you this week. Just sit still. Just sit still. And as you sit still, say, Lord, I just present myself so you can love me. Whatever happens from this moment, whatever happens in this moment is up to you. I'm not here to teach you. I'm here to be taught. I'm here to receive. I don't come with any intention. I just come to receive. I think you'll find it life transforming because most of us can't sit still for more than 30 seconds without having to do something. And if we manage the 30 seconds, we're already starting to plan for the next 30. And then we're starting to look at the clock by the end of the first minute, and we're starting to just figure out, I've been here for 3 minutes. What's up, Lord? I didn't see nothing. I didn't feel nothing. Are you there? And you look back down, and it's been 2 minutes and 29 seconds. God is love. And he will come and habitate this place with you if you will give him the place. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to share more about that in a minute. Hallelujah. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Hallelujah. True humility and honor are found in my love. Quality of life is discovered in my love. Intention and purpose are purified in my love. More so than your actions, the thing that matters most is the intention of what you do. The intention of your heart in what you're doing. He's more concerned with the intention of your heart than the actual thing that you did. Because see, as long as the heart goes from the right place, as long as the heart is intending the right thing, he can adjust the rest. It's when we harden our heart, we close it off and we wall it off and we don't give him access that he just says, I gotta wait. Not that he doesn't want to, but he doesn't choose to override us. That's why we have a free will. So the intention of your heart becomes primary. Pure love brings pure motivation. Eye has not seen nor ear heard what can be revealed to the one who walks wholly and completely in my love. You might just hold your place in 1 John, but take a quick look at 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, he says this, but this is it is written, things which the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Why am I doing this? Because I want you to see that the scripture, things that the Lord is speaking to me in my prayer closet and the scripture are coming together. And as they come together, there's something that God is delivering to us. He is showing us that there is a preparation, that there is something that is prepared in our hearts. As His love is being shown abroad in our hearts, that there is a preparation that happens in that process that allows Him to trust you with revelation of what is to come. To trust you in the understanding of what has already occurred. God loves prophecy. He loves to speak of what's yet to come, and He loves to reveal what has already been known so that we don't repeat mistakes that have already been done. So that we can find healing and restoration for what has already happened. So that we know who He is. So that we can come into a revelation of the greatness of this God that we serve. He'll reveal things to you. He'll reveal things about how to live your life. He'll reveal things about what another person's intentions are. He'll reveal things to you about witty ideas and witty inventions. He'll reveal things to you about how to conduct your business. How to find that customer. How to address that person. How to deal with the situation that's at hand. It happens to those who choose to walk in His love. The doors to darkness are closed forever in His love. In John 3, I'm going to touch base with it real quick. A minute ago we read John 3:16. I'm going to read 3:21. It's all still the same concept. It's the same discussion, same conversation. He's talking about this revealing of God's love. The revealing of the fact that God so loved us. Verse 21 sums it up saying, "He who practices truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." This sets a stage for some of the other things that God is about to speak about. But a walk in the light is secured in my love, not in your effort. Abandonment is left behind, totally rooted out in my love. Rejection is dismissed and overcome by my love. He says this, "I have no rejection for you." What rejection you have for me or for others is overwhelmed by my love. Enter into a love that is wholehearted, a love defined by peace and truth, where acceptance is complete, unbroken, with nothing lacking. Complete, unbroken, nothing lacking. We love because He first loved us. Turn with me to Isaiah 42. See, the love of God shows up in many places. It'll show up in your bedroom if you let it. He'll show up in your bathroom. He'll show up at your job, in your car. One time He showed up in my car. I was just enjoying the presence of God, and I was driving, and I was supposed to be going to Louisiana, which is going out 59, and I found myself in Huntsville, which is on 45, and about 90 miles at that point from where I'm supposed to be on 59. It was awesome. I just called my brother-in-law and said, "I'm going to be a little late." And I grinned all the rest of the way there. Hallelujah. Isaiah 42, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." I'm going to skip to verse 3. Obviously, this is talking about our Savior. It's a word of prophecy declaring who this Jesus would be. And it says here in verse 3, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish." Verse 6, "And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and for those who dwell in darkness from the prison. This is who our Christ is. This is his mission, to awaken us from the darkness, to bring forth and cast forth the light that begins to guide the nations, to shine forth with a light that begins to burn brilliantly, not only in him, but in each one of us as we allow him to ignite us with his love. He so loved the world, and he became the light that lights the nations, lights each one of us. If you look around in this congregation, we have the nations represented, many of them, just in who we are. It's awesome. A bruised reed, he will not harm. A bruised reed, he will not break. See, we underestimate the power of love. Why? Because we use it in so many ways that are so casual. How many times is this scene being played over and over and over, that two guys sitting in a bar, and they're both just smashed drunk, and they look up and they slur out, "I love you, man." We've all either been there or know somebody who's been there. Y'all are too sanctified, so you just know somebody who's been there. But the deal is that that really is not even true. Because you can't love somebody if you don't know what hurts them. You can't love somebody when you don't understand who they really are. When you haven't taken into account everything there is to be known about them. And yet our Jesus chooses to love us. Chooses to accept us, knowing everything there is to be known about us, knowing that for the most part we've spent a whole lot of time rejecting him. And he chooses to truly love us. And it sets this love apart. It sets this love apart from all those other things that were sort of love, that were synthetic love. And he's offering us an opportunity. Yesterday afternoon, I had a chance to spend some time just praying. And the love of God just began to engulf me, to drench and saturate in such a wonderful way. It brought correction and direction. It brought healing, all in a couple of hours. He says here, every thought, feeling, or perception blocking your reception of my love is a lie needing to be dealt with. Every thought, feeling, or perception that keeps you from just stepping in and realizing you're loved, receiving that love, operating in that love. Remember a moment ago when I was talking about just sit still and let him love you. Well, most of us really can't do that very well. I find it hard to just sit still, much less to sit still and let him love me. But this is what we did yesterday. And as I sat still, I began to feel and understand his love in a new way. That's the experience that I want every one of us to walk in. Because this experience is available to every one of us. All we have to do is to begin doing what he said right here, letting him deal with these things that are keeping us from that. Great is my love for my people. Look for the love. Expect the love that exceeds your ability to perceive. That exceeds our ability to understand. That exceeds our ability to rationalize away. A love that exceeds our ability to know and define in some way that we can put it in a box somewhere. The love which transforms your believing and your life is available to all. Will you allow the walls to come down so you can receive it? The walls to relationship are formed in abuse, neglect, abandonment, fear, isolation, insecurity, and unworthiness. I would imagine I named everybody there in at least one of those, if not all of those. I recognize most of those, all of those. I offer you the oil of my Spirit for the healing of these attacks on my love. These relationship blockers defy the truth of my love, which is without potential for harm to those who choose my love. We spend so much time creating and enabling these walls within us because we believe it's defending us. And what we actually wind up doing is isolating ourselves. A long time ago, early in my Christian walk, I began to realize that my motto was that I was like Spock, my belief system. Why? Because, see, you know, if I don't have any emotions, you can't hurt me. It's a defense mechanism. It's also a lie. Because the reality was the hurt still snuck through. I just built a bigger wall every time the hurt snuck through. And inevitably wound up doing there was when I first started walking with God, I began looking around and realizing this wall is not protecting me from the outside, but it sure keeps me in a prison. I had built my own prison as I looked around. I had defined a narrow little space that I could walk in and relate in. The walls erected by abuse, neglect, abandonment, fear, isolation, insecurity, and unworthiness become your boundaries between you and others as well as with me. We intended to only limit our access or someone else's access to us as something that's a horizontal plane. But every one of those walls also interferes with the relationship with Him. Why? Because when your dependency is upon yourself, there's no dependency upon Him. That's not relationship. These boundaries provide the illusion of safety while robbing you of the potential of real love, my love. The rejections learned from others do not apply to me. Let my truth set you free. And see, the Lord is so good. He doesn't just show us a problem. He shows us the way out. It starts with His truth. It starts with letting His truth have its way in us. The acceptance of my love starts with a decision to trust me. To trust me beyond the borders and the boundaries that have been your security. See, I write this and there's just a momentary second, a fraction of a second in between one word and another. But there were minutes, maybe sometimes an hour, in between reflections and the next sentence. As He began to open up new understanding in me. Because see, if I'm real honest, I don't want to let go of what's been my security. I don't want to let go of what I've known, where I've been, because it's what I know. It's my defense. And if I do that, what's on the other side? What I've discovered on the other side is so much more awesome, so much more wonderful than anything I could have imagined. But when you're sitting there at the precipice and you're about to jump off the cliff, you don't know that yet. Until you take the plunge, and you take the plunge with Him, and you allow Him to speak into your life. You allow Him to shine His light into your heart, and allow that heart to begin to come alive in His love. You can't possibly know and understand the depth of who He is and the desire of His heart for you. But when you take that leap, it all becomes, mid-step, it becomes apparent that you're in the hands of an almighty God who loves you, whose heart is keyed towards you, His desire is for you, and that everything about Him is to bring you into a greater place with Him. Embrace my truth and my sincerity while trusting in me. You want to know how to make that jump? Embrace His truth. Embrace His sincerity. You can feel His sincerity before you get to feel His love. You can feel His truthfulness before you get to feel His love. You can feel His desire for you before you get to step into that overwhelming love. As you embrace those things, then you begin to trust in Him. Because see, in that trust is a place where He begins to reveal Himself to you. So embrace my truth and my sincerity while trusting in me, and an overflowing love you will soon see. The preservation of self will fight against the destruction of the walls, even when they obviously do not work. You know, sometimes we're oblivious to something that we're doing. It takes the help of somebody on the outside, but a lot of times we're not. And we know this method that I have of dealing with the world not really working. But self-preservation will try to keep that in there. Self-preservation in this situation is not your friend. Allow me the way, the truth, and the life to have access to the walls. When we embrace Him as the way and the truth and the life, as we embrace Him for who He is, because this is this declaration, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when we embrace Him as He is, it's in that embracing that He can set us free. Knowing that everything there is about Him is geared towards receiving you. Your decision will release not only you, but many others who have been held captive by your brokenness. We don't realize that. You know, as parents, we would never purposely do something destructive to our children. But they've been held captive by our brokenness. Our relationships with others, we would never hold somebody captive. But unfortunately, so many friendships and relationships are characterized by control. Why? Because that's part of our brokenness. Even though we don't intend it, we've operated in it. But when we begin to embrace His love, He shows us a new way to operate. When we embrace His love, He shows us a new way to receive, a new way to perceive, and a new way to understand everything that goes on around us. As we begin to embrace His love, He shows us how to operate out of a whole different measure. A measure where we can allow someone to be who they are, and we can love them and accept them and receive them. Not expecting them to be perfect, not expecting them to be anything, but just another one of God's creatures, another one of God's precious ones. As you choose to embrace my love and my truth, you're embracing the freedom of fullness. Trade your walls and boundaries for my love and wisdom. And you will find a place for the healing of the wounds of others. No more will they have the same access. For I become your shield, your protector, and your perfecter. It's no longer necessary to protect ourselves in the same way when we receive this love God has for us. When we allow that love to be made manifest, to walk itself out in us, and for us to engage God in this process. I no longer have to be challenged by the belief of another into doing something to control their situation. Because I can allow the love that God is instilling in me to be the answer to that situation. I no longer have to worry about defending myself because God is the one who is now being my defense. So when someone says something that's ugly and mean and nasty, then I can recognize that, you know what? God bless them because they need it. Sometimes they need it a lot. Enough said? When you realize that it doesn't change your relationship, it doesn't change your safety. It doesn't affect your safety. It doesn't affect who you are. Then he's become your protector. His love will come to such a depth that no longer are you challenged by those same things that used to challenge you. You don't have need of it. He becomes the light that is your armor. He becomes the light that you can put on in this love. Hallelujah. Truth is demonstrated when love is activated. Next week, maybe we'll talk about Judas. But see, God drew him close. God's not looking for your perfection. But Jesus himself drew him close, even knowing who Judas was. Even knowing Judas would betray him, Jesus came into relationship with him. Came close to him. Loved him. Received him. And gave him every opportunity. And Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." All he's looking for is to let us in so that the fellowship can begin. Let me in. I want the fellowship to begin. I want to know you. I want to have a relationship with you. He's saying, I want to share my love with you. Today, this week, I ask you to sit down with him. Be still. Just sit and be still and allow him to love on you. Allow that to look like whatever it needs to look like for you, because each and every one of us is different. And each and every one of us has a different need in our life in this moment. And every one of us has this need, the need for a God who loves us, who's so dedicated to us. I already did all the sex, drugs, rock and roll, and all that other stuff. And guess what? There was nothing in it for me. But when I found God, I recognized this is what I've been needing. This is what I've been looking for. This is what I spent 35 years without. And I know that I'm going to hold on to this. He stands at the door. Invite him in. Amen.